forum for frank talk about what people do for a living. Works Do.
Hello, and welcome to Works Do. It's March 7th, 2011, and this is episode number 3. I'm Kate Gace Walton. I'm the editor of WorksDo.com, an online collection of essays in which people ponder their work lives. Today I'll be interviewing Kayla Elpert, a screenwriter whose official bio claims that she, and this is a quote, catapulted into the entertainment industry by answering fan mail for American Gladiator. That may or may not be true. It may just be her sense of humor. Let's go straight to the interview for the real story. Let me start by thanking you for taking the time.
And You're so welcome. Also
by admitting that I am wildly jealous that your work involves telling stories. I basically had the option of defriending you from sheer envy or calling you up and having a chat to learn more about it. So I chose the latter.
Well, I think after this chat, you will hopefully definitely not be as jealous as you think you will. Think you should be.
Okay, well, I would love to learn, first of all, how you got into doing what you do.
Well, after college, back in the dark ages, I moved out to Los Angeles, and I worked as an assistant to various producers and in publicity, and I just started writing. And my first job was actually on a kids show called All That, my first writing job. So I wrote sketches for children. Which sounds very glamorous. And that job lasted about 10 weeks before the entire production packed up and moved to Orlando, Florida. And so from there, I just kept writing, and I found an agent. And for a while, I worked with a partner, and then we split up amicably. And then I wrote a screenplay, and I sold my first screenplay. That's a screenplay that was never produced, which 90% of most people's screenplays have never been produced. And that was a sort of a gothic horror comedy set actually at an all-girls boarding school. And sort of a retelling of Jekyll and Hyde meets Mean Girls, but this was way before Mean Girls. And so I sold that, and then it just kind of, you know, snowballed from there.
Right. And so then what was your next project after that, or how did life
after change that, after that? That's when I sort of kind of hit, I don't want to say hit it big, but that was kind of my big moment of, you know, people knowing me as a writer and as a solo writer, because I'd been working with a partner. So from there, I sold a pitch, which basically means I came up with another idea for a movie, and I kind of worked out the story beats and got a producer, and we went around and I sold it to Warner Brothers. And I also was having a meeting at Fox, and I was wandering around the Fox lot and ran into a friend of mine who worked at the Fox television network. And he said, you know, you should come in and have a meeting with us. Don't just stick to doing feature work, do television. So I went and I had a general meeting, and I sort of came up with an idea off the top of my head, and they ended up buying it in the room. Meaning, literally, as I'm sitting there talking about various ideas I have, they said, great, we love that one, we'll buy it. And I wrote my first television pilot, and that was well-received, so I ended up getting a sort of a longer-term deal at 20th Century Fox to write television, and, you know, and concurrently was also trying to, you know, write more movies for various studios.
So how is the process different when you're writing for television versus writing a screenplay for a movie?
Well, television is much quicker. The turnaround, the scripts are way shorter. Even if you're doing drama or comedy is about 30 pages because it's 30 minutes, and it's about a minute a page. So, and dramas are about, 50 pages, and movies are about 110 pages. I know that sounds sort of silly, but, less pages means less work. In my mind. So when you're working in television, there's a very quick turnaround. There's a season, there's a pilot season, so you have to get you know, you have to pitch your ideas at a certain time, and you have to turn in an outline at a certain time, and everybody turns in their scripts at once, and it's kind of this mad rush, almost like college applications. Like, everybody's applying at the same time, and the people at the different networks are picking which of the ones they're going to pick up to make and then put to series. In film, it's a lot more fluid. You know, you might sell a screenplay. It maybe takes you a while. It might take the studio a while to decide if they're going to make it. And usually, I mean, I would say the minimum it takes most studios from very start of your writing your screenplay to them having a movie in the theaters, I think the minimum is about 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
Whereas the TV shows you see, you know, the new TV shows you will see next September have just been written now, which it's now March, and they're being shot in about a month from now, March and April. So it's a really quick turnaround, which is great. You kind of get the pain over with quickly.
Right. So have you developed a preference for one mode over the other, or are they just different in your mind?
I think it's sort of like your children, whichever is not crying is your favorite. So, you know, if I'm having a great experience in TV, I prefer that. If I'm having a better experience in film at the moment on a specific project, I like that better. The one thing that film does is it gives you a bit more freedom with your time, because you're not on as quite a mad of deadline, and you're also, you know, you don't have to go into an office every day. You can work out of your house. With television, when you're on staff of a TV show, I've been on staff of shows, you know, it's like a regular job. You go in the morning, you leave at night. You're sitting around a big table with a lot of different people. So it's much more collaborative, but it gives you less freedom as well.
Right.
So it's kind of, you know, one is a little, you know, film is a lot more isolating. And, I mean, writing television pilots is more like writing a film. But when it goes into production, you have a much bigger role. The problem with screenwriting is once you write the screenplay, even if it goes into production, your role is significantly diminished. I mean, you're really not a part of producing it, casting it. You know, you're lucky if you make it onto set, if you're invited. You're lucky if you're not replaced by another writer, you know, who goes on set, or who's friends with the movie star, who is an A-list name who the studio relies on to kind of, you know, do a polish on your work.
Right.
So
one part of the process I was curious about is it the case that, you know, writers are conceiving of the ideas and then writing these scripts, whether they're for TV or film, and submitting them and trying to get them picked up? Or is it that studios are coming up with, you know, kind of a basic idea and then finding the writer who can bring that to life? Or is it both, really?
It's a combination of both. Generally, normally it wouldn't be the studio that would come up with the idea, but maybe the producers who work for the studio might submit, you know, might find an article that they like, you know, based on a true story, or they might find a book, they take out an option on the book and then look for a writer to adapt it. Or they take an old movie and they want to, you know, have you adapt it or update it rather. A lot of times, and I've done this many, many times, is you come up with your own original idea as a writer and you go and you pitch it around and hope that someone will buy it. I think nowadays, you know, movie studios are making far less movies. They're taking far less chances creatively, and they're more likely, and when you look at the Cineplexes in everybody's neighborhood, it's more likely to be a sequel or a remake or an adaptation of a popular book or based on a true story. And there's far less kind of purely original screenplays being produced into original movies.
So how, as a writer, I mean, it sounds like you have probably spent a number of years and untold hours writing things that, you know, didn't see the light of the day. How were you able to kind of keep your spirits up through that process? Or were there times
when you considered
switching?
Oh, I'm not sure I ever considered switching because I was just busy enough. But I will say this. I mean, this is the part of being a screenwriter that it's hard to, I don't want to have the violins come out because I'm very lucky in that I've done well enough for myself, and I feel fortunate that I've been able to work for so long. But it's a very frustrating process. And I sort of try to remind myself I'm in R&D, I'm in research and development. So imagine you're at a toy company and you're toiling all year coming up with, you know, 100 new ideas for toys. You know, the company that you work for is really only going to pick one or two that they're going to spend millions of dollars making and marketing. So, you know, you feel like, oh my God, I've come up with, you know, 20 toys that I'm absolutely in love with that I'm sure everybody would, you know, want to buy their kids. And the company's saying, you know what, we really only are going to make two toys. And we're going to not just pick from your 20 toys that you've invented, but from the entire, you know, R&D team's toys. So, you know, it's frustrating like that. But, you know, movies are very expensive. An average movie made at a studio usually costs no less. I mean, we're talking about minimum $35 million, maybe another $30 million to market. So that's $65 million that your screenplay has to be worth to the studio to make.
Yeah,
so
it's a big bet.
So you can imagine it's, you know, you're really, it's kind of a needle in a haystack thing where you're really trying to find, you know, you're hoping that they find, you know, in that giant haystack of screenplays that yours is the needle that they find. And that was a terrible analogy, but it's probably the odds of, that's how great your odds are of getting a movie made.
Right. So in a business like this, where, you know, if you sort of hung everything on results, it would be really tough because, as you say, things get picked up only here and there, and you do a lot of work to get to that point. It must be a lot about the process for you. I mean, I'm just guessing you must really enjoy the process. Is that the case, or is it that, you know, the process is what you go through for those breakthroughs that happen?
Well, I think you have to love the process. I mean, there are going to be times when you're cursing the process as well, but if you don't love the process, it comes out in your work. And look, I'm really lucky, and my colleagues who are screenwriters are lucky, we get to tell stories for a living. So there's something that drives us to tell these stories and to keep going and keep trying. So I do love the process. And, you know, look, the truth is you can't hang all your hopes on the results because, look, even if your movie does get made, there's no guarantee that it's going to be the way that you envisioned it. You know, a director comes in, new writers come in, an actor comes in, a team of actors come in, and they add their, you know, it's extremely collaborative. It's not like writing a novel where it's kind of a more pure form. So, you know, I do love the process. And I think, you know, ultimately we're all sort of cautiously optimistic that, you know, our screenplay will come to life as is. As you're writing it, you just kind of, almost, it's like childbirth. You have to have amnesia to go through it again.
Right, right. So when you think back on the things you've written, the projects you've worked on, is there, you know, one or two that stands out in your mind as things you're proudest of or that you enjoyed the most?
Yeah, I have a couple that I really, really love. That those were the sort of heartbreakers for me that didn't get made. And it's always the things that you kind of do as an assignment or you do as, you know, kind of a lark. Those are the things that end up getting made. But again, this is, you know, that's part of the business too is, you know, the things that I love that I've created don't have as good a chance from a marketing standpoint as something that is a hit novel or, you know, a true life story that a lot of people have been moved by. So I'm really, you know, the competition is pretty fierce. So even within my own, you know, library of scripts that I've written, I understand why certain things have gotten made, but that aren't necessarily, don't have my personal, you know, heart and soul originality in it. And there are things that, you know, people say, look, we really love the writing, but this isn't going to appeal to enough people, or we have another project like it, or we're not making this kind of movie right now. So you just kind of, you learn to live with it.
Right. Right. So what were the things that, you know, you just really feel great about in terms of your past credits?
In terms of my produced credits or in terms of my scripts that are sitting on a shelf somewhere?
I guess either one. Just when you think, and obviously, you know, your career is maybe midway. There's all sorts of good stuff to come. But when you think of what you've already done, are there things that you just, you know, were real highlights for you or highs for you?
It's so hard to say, you know, because looking back, there are things that I sort of didn't appreciate at the time. You know, working even in kids' television was like way more fun in retrospect than it was at the time when I felt like I really wanted to be writing adult material. But in retrospect, it was really a lot of fun and light and funny. You know, I wrote a pilot for HBO that I really, really fell in love with and was working with some great producers on. And, you know, I basically sold it to HBO. And then when I wrote the script, by the time I turned it in, there was a brand new president at HBO and everyone, there was sort of a clearinghouse there. So the person who had bought it was not the person who would end up greenlighting it. So that happens a lot too, is, you know, you're writing a script and it takes a little while to write it. And, you know, it's like a new regime comes in and they've got their own agendas. But at that time, that was a really fun project for me to write.
Right. So is there anything about the business, you know, aside from kind of the uncertainty that you've talked a little bit about, that you would put sort of squarely in the, you know, not so fun, not so good column? Or... You know, how do you think about it? What are the pros and cons?
I mean, look, there are so many upsides to this job. There really are. And so I would say that the only thing is, you know, everyone thinks they want to be a screenwriter. So I'm going to be the sort of Debbie Downer and talk about, I will happily tell you what the negatives are. The negatives are you're essentially freelance. So you have to be someone that is okay if your job ends every 4 months. And you have to, like, get, and if your job ends and your script doesn't get made into a movie or a television pilot or a TV show or whatever, you have to, like, start over again with a brand new idea. This is every 4 months. Now, I've been working in this business for about 15 years. So you can imagine how many times I've had to kind of, and all my colleagues have had to start over again. That's very exhausting. As a screenwriter, you're also, there's no delegating. In television shows, when you're working on a TV series, it's different because you have a staff of people who are working with you to come up with ideas, but it's really squarely on your shoulders. When I'm not working, work does not get done. It's not like a business where you can, you know, hire people to work under you, or you have colleagues who can kind of cover for you when you're sick or you're tired or you're burnt out or you want to, you know, start on a new project but you haven't finished the old one. So it's really, it's sort of like writing a college term paper for the rest of your life. You know, the deadlines are tough. It's exhausting to write all the time. It can be a bit monotonous.
Right.
And it's really competitive. You know, this is like a lot of people want to do it, and there's a lot of great writers. And, you know, it's just a very competitive field. But you also don't have the advantage of, you know, you don't really know, you don't always get to know your competition. You know, for one project that I'm writing, which is actually a rewrite, I'm rewriting somebody else's project. I think the studio must have met with about 12 people. So there are 11 other people. And by the way, I've been in that 11 other people pile all the time. But in this particular case, I happened to get the job. But there were 11 other people who worked really hard to get the job who didn't get it. So, you know, you're constantly facing rejection. So those are the kind of negatives. And again, the responsibility of, you know, of doing everything to write your script. I mean, that can weigh heavily. If you're having a bad day or a bad month or writer's block, you know, your job's not getting done. And I think that can definitely slow you down even more.
That's very helpful. One of the things that I have been wanting to do with Work Stew in general is, you know, even when there is someone like you who loves their job, and I find people like you in all sorts of fields, I feel sometimes those of us who are not in that field have a pretty one-dimensional understanding. And so I appreciate your kind of pulling out some of those other aspects that are part of the reality of it all.
I mean, the reality of being a screenwriter, I think people imagine, you know, I'm inspired and sitting in some, you know, beautiful office with an old typewriter or my MacBook Air, and, you know, I'm typing furiously away like I'm Beethoven on the piano, and, you know, studio heads are calling me every 5 minutes to tell me how brilliant my work is, and I'm running off to lunch with movie stars, and it's really quite the opposite. It's one of the least glamorous jobs you'll ever have. I mean, I basically get up, have my coffee, throw on my sweatpants, and kind of stare at the computer for 7 hours. And if I'm lucky, I get a lot of work done. If I'm having a bad day, I don't get anything done. But I'm kind of glued to my computer all day. It's really the closest thing I've come to my career, and I cannot believe I sometimes chose this as a career considering my college experience. It's like writing a term paper. So imagine, you know, you're writing a term paper, but your professors are actually paying you to do it, so the pressure for you to get a straight, you know, to do a great job and get an A on it is huge. And so it's kind of, it's more like that than it is, you know, I'm, you know, Johnny Depp and I are hanging at a cafe, you know, shooting the breeze about ideas.
Right. So you mentioned college. I just want to kind of wind up by going back in time. When you graduated, did you have a really clear sense that this is what you wanted to do? Or was it more that you knew this industry was where you wanted to be and the role was still to be discovered and defined? Where was your head back then?
Well, my senior year of second semester of college, I had a couple of electives left. So I had done a lot of photography in college, and I had done a fair amount of writing. So I took a creative writing class, and I took a photography class. My photography teacher hated me, and my writing teacher loved me and was extremely supportive and encouraging. And he said, you know, you're a very funny writer. You should think about going to Hollywood. I ended up moving back home, and after about a week, my mom said, you've got a week to figure out if you want to go to L.A. or you want to go to New York and what you want to do. I ended up scoring an interview for an assistant job at CBS News. And after about a half an hour of my meeting at the news division, they said, you know, we really feel like you belong in entertainment, not in news. So that was when I decided to come to the West Coast.
This was before the two had completely converged, I guess.
Yes, that's right. That's right. This was, you know, for 60 minutes. This was like very serious, hard-hitting news. I was interviewing to be a producer's assistant, and they immediately after about 6 minutes of talking to me said, you know, maybe you should be writing a comedy in Hollywood and recognized this was not my path. So from then on, I moved to Los Angeles with the idea that I wanted to be a writer, and that was my path, and that's what I wanted to do. I didn't think I wanted to be a producer. I didn't think I wanted to be an agent. I mean, I had a pretty clear vision of what I wanted to do.
And when you
now arrived, maybe not so clear.
Right. When you arrived in Hollywood, I mean, did you know anyone?
I did. You know, I knew a lot of. I had a bunch of friends who had kind of come out here to pursue different aspects of the entertainment industry. A couple writers, a couple kind of assistants to producers, a couple friends who worked at television companies. There were a lot of us coming out here. So it was not isolating. This was kind of all of my friends either moved out west or they moved to New York and worked in magazines. So they were kind of, it was sort of for me and with my group of friends and my interests, it was one or the other.
So there were some people to form a kind of merry band as you all found your way
there.
Oh,
a huge merry band. And I'm still really close with a lot of those people, and they've gone on, many, many of them have gone on to do absolutely huge, huge things. So, you know, I mean, one of them is, you know, running a major movie, you know, two of them are running major movie studios. Another one, you know, produced Twilight, another, you know, they've all sort of made their mark, or they've had television shows on the air, and there's, you know, there's definitely a community out here.
We'll wrap up there, but thank you so much. This has just been so great to hear about your life and your work, and I appreciate your taking the time.
Oh, sure, you're welcome. I mean, it is a great job. I just want to say I'm not looking for any kind of pity. The nitty-gritty of it is, you know, is very different, I think, than what most people imagine, as great as it really is.
No, that's exactly what I'm looking for, is the real scoop, and I feel like you gave us some great insight into that. So
yeah.
Thanks
again. I call it, it's bad news with a good paycheck, is basically what my job is.
That wraps up the show for today. Thanks very much again to my guest, screenwriter Kayla Alpert. Also to Chris Walton, my husband and collaborator. This podcast would not be possible without his technical expertise. Thanks also to everyone who's contributed an essay to Work Stew, especially the most recent contributors, Zach Brockhaus and Samantha Cole, and to everyone who's currently working on writing a piece of their own. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening today. The next episode will be released in 2 weeks, and I hope you'll check it out. In the meantime, please let me know what you thought of the show by sending an email to kate@workstew.com or by posting a comment on the WorkStew website, or as soon as the listing shows up, which should be very shortly, by writing a review for iTunes. Thanks again, and bye for now.